We read of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 as follows. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death. The fear of death is something which ultimately takes hold upon all men at some point. They may turn their backs on death, not consider death, pretend it will never come. We may turn our backs on death, not consider death, and pretend it will never come. We walk backwards through life, as it were, looking at the world here and now, looking at each day that comes upon us, looking upon our own things and those things that concern us, in a pretense that death won't come. Because if we consider death and the reality of death, it fills us with fear. It causes us to tremble. When we're thrown into a situation where death stands before us, it can overcome us. The warrior sent to war, who sees death all around him, knows that it might come upon him. The person sick with a terminal illness knows he has little time. Then comes the fear of death. But ultimately this fear extends throughout all our lifetime. It is because there is this awareness within us that death will come upon us that we choose not to think of it. That we distract ourselves. That we look upon this and upon that, everything but death. We won't consider it because we're full of fear. We don't know what is to come. I heard of one of the consultants working in the hospitals in our current situation, dealing with the patients on the COVID wards. And how he spoke of the traumatic situations in which he and his staff were placed in dealing with these people that were coming in who were on the brink of death. These people whose lives were wasting away. They cannot breathe. They're kept alive on ventilators. And he spake of how hard it is to deal with people who are full of terror, when they're so ill that they know they could go in a moment, and they know that death awaits. Their faces, he said, are full of terror. They're pleading with the doctors and the nurses to save them. Don't let me die. When you're placed where they are, suddenly death becomes very real to you. And even the strongest of people, the strongest of characters, who've lived all their life as though death is far off, suddenly they find themselves ravaged by disease with death upon them. Death just around the corner, and they're full of fear. Their faces show it. How terrifying this is. Their cries to be delivered, their cries to be saved. Don't let me die. How people fear death. But why? Why do these people in the wards show fear? Why does fear come upon their faces? Why does death frighten us? Why do even the strongest of atheists who say there's no God, there's no eternity, there's no sin, there's no righteousness, who deny all the truth, why do even they at the final hour when death confronts them suddenly cry out in fear as they do? Because there's that in them and that in you, in our conscience, in our understanding, in our being, that knows what lies beyond the grave, that knows that there is eternity outside of this world. There must be. We know that we are conscious. We know that that consciousness will continue. We know that life is so brief. This cannot be the end. We know that our Creator waits on the other side. Whoever we are, whatever we profess, whatever we say we believe, we all know that our Creator stands on the other side of death, and before Him we must answer. Hence, when death suddenly comes upon us, if we know not Christ, if we know not Christ's salvation, if we cannot say that before God I'm righteous, fear fills us from head to toe. Because we know what comes. We know we have no plea. We know we're guilty. We spent a lifetime rejecting the truth, shutting our ears to the gospel, shutting our ears to God, going off another way, and suddenly here we are about to meet Him. What can we say? Nothing. Why did you not believe? Why did you not hear? Why did you not serve me? Why did you not care? We have no answer. All our lifetimes, we are subject to bondage because of the fear of death. Yes, we may bury that fear. Yes, we may fool ourselves that we may live here below forever. Yes, we may consider everything but and try not to consider that which is to come. But that in itself is a demonstration of the fear of death. We don't like to consider it. It fills us with bondage because we know that if we die, we must stand before God righteous, and we're not righteous. Fact is, we will die and we will stand before God and we will stand before God full of sin and corruption, guilty before a holy God, because we die because we are sinners. The cause of death is within us. It's a fool who says there is no God, and a fool who says there is no life after death. Because the cause of death itself is within us. That which motivates us, that by which we live, that which governs our every action, deed, and thought, is that which brings death upon us. Sin within us, our rebellion against God, our rebellion against the truth, our unbelief of the truth, our denial of the truth, is that which slays us. We've rejected God, and because we've rejected God, because we've turned our back on God, because we've gone our own way, so we die. And we see that death every day. Every day the cells in our body are dying. Every day we feel the frailty within. Every time we hurt ourselves, every time we're injured, every time we ache, every time we're tired, every time illness comes upon us, we feel the physical effects of death, which are just ticking away by the hour until that day when we are no more. Likewise, spiritually, we are dead. Every day we deny the gospel. We show the death within. Every day we turn aside from our Maker, we show the death within. Every day we refuse to bow down before Almighty God, we show the sin and the death within. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead by nature. We're already dead. Sin entered into man when he turned his back upon God, and death by sin. We live a dying life. What we call life here below for the brief few years that we are here is a life of death. It's a life of sorrow. It's a life of tragedy. It's a life of disaster. It's a struggle. Even for the most successful, even for the most seemingly outwardly blessed in this world, the richest, the most revered, the most powerful, they all die and they all have their tragedies and they all have their sorrows. You could look at the lives of anyone in this world and you will find in their journey this tragedy and that. This difficulty and that, this sorrow and that, this is a veil of tears through which we pass. We pass through the shadow of death. We journey through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a dark and an evil world, and all around us there are those dropping down daily and falling into the abyss of the grave. Like those soldiers in battle, in the First World War perhaps, who left their trenches and marched on across no man's land. Side by side, this one dropped down dead, that one dropped down dead, this one dropped down dead, until eventually they're hit and they dropped down dead. Even if you were a survivor, all around you was death. And our sojourn, our pathway in this world is much like that. We go through and we hear of this person ill, and that person ill, and that person who's died, and that person who's gone. It's a valley of the shadow of death. Not only is it all around us, in others, it's in our conscience. In our souls, in ourselves. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, we read in 2 Corinthians, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. The sentence of death is in us. We know we're sinners, and we know the consequence of that sin. Oh, many pretend otherwise, many deny otherwise, but our conscience tells us we're sinners before a holy God. We're dead by nature and we're dying, and we will meet him one day. We will meet him one day. Christ came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. though we are in a terrible state, though sin has wrought such damage, though our lifetime might be in bondage because of the fear of death, yet God sent his Son to deliver sinners like us. Sinners who, through the fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. What we call freedom in this world is no freedom at all. What men think of as being free is but an illusion for a few short years upon this earth until eternity comes upon them. There's no freedom. We're subject to bondage. The bondage and the captivity of death. We're subject to bondage in that the fear of death itself would break us if we considered it. We're subject to bondage in that our lifetimes are a ticking clock. Our lives are brief and time ticks away on us rapidly. So everyone grows up as a child, comes to young adolescence, grows into a young woman or a young man and tries to grasp all that they can of life whilst it's there before them. They have their goals and their aspirations. They try to achieve this and to achieve that and gain this and gain that. But they can see the passing of time. Soon their 20s are gone. Soon their 30s are gone and their 40s are gone. Soon old age starts to creep upon them. And that which they thought lied ahead of them is soon in the past. And it's a catalogue of missed opportunities. Or perhaps taken opportunities which can no longer be repeated. However your life comes across. However successful you may be, or however great a failure you may be, no matter, it's soon gone. It really doesn't matter. So one achieves great things and another achieves nothing, but soon both are old and soon both face the grave. And the passing of time and the fleetingness of time, it's bondage. You can't stop it. You can't prevent it. You can't escape it. Looking ahead unto the grave brings bondage. It brings fear. And those who see their state, those who are brought to see what lies ahead, and are brought to flee from it and desire to flee from it, those who want to escape what's the other side of the grave, are turned to strive to make themselves right before God. Those who are brought to understand that there is a God to whom they must answer and they must be righteous. Those who are brought to see that they are a sinner before a holy God find themselves in bondage because they strive to make themselves better and they can't. They turn to their own deeds, their own works, their own ability. They try to reform themselves. They try to live in a way that they think God will be pleased with. They come to the scriptures, they come to the Bible, they come to the law of God and they try to live accordingly. This is how I must be. This is how I should be before God. I must be righteous. So they strive at righteousness. They strive at holiness. They strive to live in a way that God will be pleased with, and they can't do it. The law condemns us. Thou shalt not, it says, and we do. Thou shalt and we don't. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and we don't. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, and we don't. We're guilty in every point. We're subject to bondage. The law condemns us. We're found under bondage under it. It's bondage under the law. It's captivity under the law. We're captives. We're locked up. We cannot escape. We cannot escape its rule. We cannot escape its condemnation. We are, as it were, sinners in the hands of an angry God. We see God beholding us through the righteousness of his law. And we find ourselves guilty. We know that when God looks at us, he will see no good thing in us. And yet we know that unless we stand before him righteous, we're condemned. We have no way out. So all our lifetime we're subject to bondage. The fear of death stands before us, but we know we're condemned. We know we're condemned to eternal death. We cannot escape. What of you? What of you? Do you turn your back upon God? Do you turn your back upon the truth? Do you turn your back upon the witness of God in the gospel, the witness of God in his word, the witness of your own conscience, the witness of what you see all around you? Do you shut your ears? Do you hope for the best? Do you turn aside from the knowledge of death because it fills you with fear? Because it fills you with sorrow. Has God brought you to turn and to look for salvation? In this passage, in this book, God writes unto sinners like you and I, not to condemn, not to bring us and leave us under the fear of death, not to leave us under bondage, but to point to his Son who came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. As the chapter opens, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He came into this world full of the fear of death, and he preached unto sinners salvation. He preached unto sinners salvation through Christ and his blood. Salvation through the death of Christ in the place of sinners. He came and he preached the gospel unto us. And then he came and he spake that gospel. He preached that gospel to others. And they went forth and preached it. And others heard them and they went forth and preached it. All down through the generations until now, when others are sent of God and come before us and declare and say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold he who took upon himself flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them like you who through fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. God comes unto us today and by his preachers preaches what Christ himself preached when on this earth. Look unto me. Look unto Christ, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Where are you looking? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? A salvation that came at such a price. The fear of death brings us under bondage. The fear of death brings the sick to fear and quake. The fear of death brings horrors upon a man. Yet Christ came to partake of death, that through his death he might deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That same fear, that same death, that same sorrow that they're so afraid of, he came to take. He came to drink the cup that they deserve to drink. He came to drink the cup of God's wrath, which his people deserve to drink. He came to take their guilt. He came to take their condemnation. He came to take the judgment that was due unto them. He took upon himself flesh and blood, that he should be as they are, that he might stand as a man in the place of men. If the same flesh and the same blood, a human, a man, equal to them, but as the Son of God, equal unto God, that he could take their sins and bear their sins through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Oh, the sorrows of death that came upon the Saviour, that came upon Christ in order that he might deliver his people from their sins, in order that sinners like you and I might be spared. In Philippians 2 verse 8 we read that he being found in fashion as a man, with flesh and blood, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He went there voluntarily. We're all heading towards the grave. We're all heading towards death, against our will, as it were. We can't stop the journey. We're, as it were, stood on a conveyor belt, which is constantly moving one way, and no matter which way we turn, we keep travelling along it. There's nothing we can do to stop. There's nothing we can do to stop the aging process. Time is against us. If we could choose another path, we would, but we can't help it. We're heading that way. But the eternal Son of God, who was righteous, without sin, without the cause of death in him, without guilt, innocent of every charge, he voluntarily headed towards the cross. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He went that way. He came into this world to go to a place of execution, though he himself deserved it not. Though he was innocent, though he was righteous, he took upon himself the sorrow. He was plunged into the waters of death voluntarily. For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The just came for the unjust, the righteous for sinners, the innocent for the guilty. He suffered for sins that he might bring us, his people, to God. He went there by choice because he loved his own. Because he loved a people like you and I, sinners, wretches, rebels, hard-hearted, the guilty, the vile, the condemned, those who rejected him, those who hated him, and those who with their own hands took him and crucified him. He set his love upon them. You, my friend, believer, with your sin, with your rebellion, with your hatred of God, took his Son when you despised his gospel. You took his Son when you rejected the truth. You took his Son when you lived for self. And you took him and pierced him and crucified him. You said in your heart, away with this man, crucify him. You said in your heart, there is no God. You said in your heart, I'll live forever. And you put him to death. You rejected him. But he came for those that hated and rejected him. And although we did that to him, he died in love for us, that we should live forever. Oh, the grace of God that he came for those that put him to death. You today may still in your heart be piercing the Son of God. You may still be kicking him in the face. You may still be trampling his blood underfoot. You may still be turning aside unto your own ways and shutting your ears to the truth. But if you're his and he came for you, one day these words will come into your ears and open them up. That he loved you when you hated him. That he died for you when you put him to death. That he suffered for you that you should live forever. Oh, what our sins did to him. What sorrows they brought upon him. What waves of destruction they brought over his head. What horrors they brought into his soul. 2 Samuel 22, David writes prophetically of Christ. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. These words are recorded in the Psalms. The sorrows of death compassed me, Psalm 18, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. Psalm 116, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. God put David through such a circumstance in his life, through such sorrow and loss and tragedy. He brought him so low that David himself experienced something of the sorrows of death and the terrors of hell, that he could write in such a way, knowing what Christ would suffer for him. He could write by the Spirit of God what Christ suffered and felt. When Christ came, when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, when he once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, this is what it cost him. This is what he felt, the sorrows of death. The waves of death compassed him. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He was alone upon the cross. He was alone in the darkness. He felt the weight of the guilt of every child of God throughout all time. All the sins of all his people were laid upon him. All the wrath of God against every sin of everyone throughout all time poured down upon the Saviour. The sorrows of death compass me. All that we fear of death came upon him. All the wrath of God, all the judgment, all the fires of death, eternal damnation came upon the Saviour as he hung upon the cross, held up between heaven and earth, alone. When even his Father had to turn aside because of what Christ was made to be, because of what he bore. He was made sin. He bore the sins of all his people. He was guilty from head to toe. And God cannot look upon sin. He cannot have fellowship with a sinner. His wrath poured out against his own Son, because his own Son hung there as the guilty one. The sorrows of death came upon him, and he hung there because he would voluntarily suffer death in order to deliver his people from the fear of death and the bondage and the captivity which all their lifetime they were subject to. He would deliver them. He would deliver them from him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil's got his grip on us, because he holds death in his hands to bring us down to where he is, to bring us down to hell below. He'll take every one of us with him if he can. But Christ conquered him. Christ destroyed him. Christ stood on the serpent's head. And though that serpent bit Christ's heel and bruised him, Christ destroyed that serpent. He destroyed our enemy. He destroyed our adversary. He destroyed death. He conquered it. Oh, what a conqueror. What a Saviour Christ is. When he went to that place, it was not the end. It was not tragedy. It was deliverance. It was salvation. He wrought a finished work. He came and he delivered us from so great a death. And he doth deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He delivered us from so great a death. And his people, he doth, he has, and he will deliver. There is nothing that lies before the believer's gaze that they need fear. If you've been brought to hear this truth, if you've been brought to behold Christ crucified for you, if you've been brought to see his love for you that took him to that place, that took him to suffer in your stead, then though your journey through this world may not be over, though you may yet pass through that point of time when you enter eternity, you have nothing to fear. Because he suffered the sorrows of death for you. There's nothing that will come upon you. When you come to stand before God, you will come into his presence clothed in the blood of the Lamb of God. That blood that was shed upon the cross that day washes us from every sin. We will enter eternity. Believer, you will enter eternity and stand before God righteous. And you will see the Saviour upon his throne. And he will not sit there in condemnation, in judgment of you. But you will see his smiling face and know that you stand in him before God righteous. With an everlasting life. Sin is no more, nowhere to be seen. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's nowhere to be seen. He's delivered us from so great a death because he's taken our sin away. Taken it away. All we see now is Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We see Jesus. We see him now by faith. We will see him then with our own eyes. Our Saviour who tasted death for us. We read in 2 Timothy, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who have abolished death. And have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's abolished death. He's taken it away. He's blotted it out. He's destroyed it. He's destroyed it. We read of this in 1 Corinthians 15. How Christ died, the first man Adam of the earth, of whom we are the offspring, was earthy, was a sinner, and we died in him. But the second man, Christ, the Lord from heaven, came to this world and took upon him flesh and blood in order that he might rise from the dead and we in him, in order that he might deliver us from death, in order that we might be raised again with him in that resurrection to come. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul writes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin. Christ took it away. The strength of sin is the law. Christ delivered us from it. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has no fear for those in Christ. The fear of death is no bondage for those in Christ. The law is no bondage for those in Christ. We've been delivered from sin, delivered from condemnation, delivered from the law, delivered from death. We are alive in Christ alone. And we are because, and solely because, of the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. There's only one thing that can deliver us from death. There's only one thing that can deliver us from the fear of death and its bondage. And that is the grace of God. We cannot deliver ourselves, and we do not deliver ourselves. We choose death. We choose sin. We choose corruption. Such is our nature. Such is the deadness of our nature. Such is the folly of our way. We choose a path that leads unto destruction. We go our own way, heading to the grave. It may fill us with fear. It may place us under bondage. But every time we hear of God, we go that way. That's our foolishness. There's only one thing that will deliver us from it. God's grace through his Son in his gospel. What a mercy it is if God comes unto us in time and points us unto his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy if he comes unto us and makes the gospel known unto us. What a mercy if he gives us ears to hear it. Eyes to behold Christ by faith. What a mercy if he changes our hearts, grants us repentance, turns us from our own way, our own wisdom, to look unto Christ. What a mercy if he sets his grace upon us. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God which brings salvation. I'm thankful that my salvation stands in nothing but that grace. Not my understanding, not my wisdom, not my learning. Salvation does not stand in how much I have sought God out. It does not stand in how much I have read the Word. It does not stand in my wisdom upon the Scriptures, or my understanding of doctrine. It does not stand in my discernment, or my readiness to sacrifice. It does not stand in how willing I have been to turn from this or turn to that. It does not stand in how self-sacrificing I am. It does not stand in how understanding I might be of the right way and the wrong way. It does not stand in my wisdom upon the scriptures, in my wisdom and discernment regarding every error and every deception which has come in to the churches and to Christendom over the generations. My salvation does not stand in my wisdom in this world, in my discernment of what is right or wrong in my journey. My salvation does not stand in whether I vote for this man or vote for that man, on whether I think this or think that, on whether I discern the signs of the times or the events of the times. Whatever we may do, whatever we are, our salvation does not stand in it, nor is it added to by it. God saves sinners. My salvation stands in the grace of God in Jesus Christ. All that we are, all that we think and all that we do is sin and has brought us unto death and condemnation. All that we are, all that we think and do leads us away from God. But all that he does for his people through Christ in his gospel delivers them from sin, from condemnation, from the law, from hell, from the power of the devil. It takes them and plucks them out and brings them into everlasting life. O believer, we are nothing but what we are in Christ. All we have is from Christ alone. All we are is in Christ alone. And our only reason for being here in this world is to know Christ, to behold Christ, to speak of Christ, to declare his grace unto others, to follow Christ. Turn from this world in which there's nothing but death. Turn from this world and its wisdom which leads unto condemnation. Turn from time and the things of time, the events of time, the distractions of time, unto Christ alone. For he came for sinners to deliver them from sin, death, the world, condemnation, the devil, themselves, into everlasting life. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen.